in a program with a Catholic school in London, England. And this is something that we're going to be talking about as well. They're expanding and helping the students to discover their place in the world and step into their future with confidence through one-on-one experiences. And so it's very exciting, and I'm so grateful to have Father Alphonse here and Claire and these three wonderful students. So, Father, let me start with you. And how did this all come about? I mean, we talked recently about sending the choir to Rome, and they were there around Christmas time and met the Pope and sang for the Pope, and now New York and London. Tell us about the inspiration for all these opportunities for the students.
Right. So we've taken to heart our mission, which is to create a Christ-centered learning environment that fosters wonder and excitement. So I really mean it. When we say that, we have to mean it, and it means that we have to work hard at it. And after the experience in Rome, and how that just really impacted the children, they had a better appreciation for their faith. They saw the universality of their faith. They were able to meet the Holy Father, sing for the Holy Father. Once we saw that experience that was so incredible, then we asked the question, what's next? And so going to New York City with our three-year-old program, our business program, the Mater Business Program, we figured what better place to go than to the heart of the financial district, which is New York City. We always start with the idea. As a mentor of mine once said, how hard can it be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How hard can it be? So we looked into it, and I started making some phone calls. I have some former graduates from places that I've worked at. I contacted them, and apparently it was harder than I thought it would be. They didn't have the connections. They were unfortunately telling me all the time that this is something that really is not possible. You have to be invited personally by a publicly traded company in order to get a private tour of the NASDAQ or the stock exchange, right? New York Stock Exchange. So it was humbling, because we went through so many contacts and nobody could really help us. And everybody was saying, well, why don't you just go to New York and just have a great time? You mm-hmm. can go outside and you can do the public tours and you can have a tour just like anybody else. But I really didn't want to go to New York without having something very special.
Yeah.
So in the end, there was one person that I contacted, and that person happened to be in Davos at the time, in Switzerland, at the major economic forum. And he said, I might be able to help you with the NASDAQ. And lo and behold, maybe 3 or 4 days later, the president of the NASDAQ, Adele Friedman, called, or actually sent an email and said, we'd love to have you.
Really?
Yeah.
Straight from the head of NASDAQ.
The head, the president.
And
the president.
Like you say, maybe it's possible, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just, why not at least swing the bat, right?
Dream, and then realize that it may not be easy, but it's worth giving it a shot and not to give up so quickly.
Yeah.
And so from that moment on, from that email that we received, a month later, the kids were in New York.
Yeah, that's amazing. So it's all through this Mater Business Program. And, I think I mentioned before, I went to high school with Karl Mater.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know him, and it's a neat connection and all this. So, well, thank you, Father. And I'm going to bring Claire in at the end, because she'll see immediately when she starts talking that she has a connection to this London exchange program that you're doing. She is English herself, but I want to bring, speaking of Claire, I'll bring her daughter in first, and then we want to ask these really amazing students some questions. And again, these are all eighth graders, so they're in their final weeks of grade school before they move on to high school, and we'll talk about what their future holds as well. Lydia Dar, Avery Wright, and Long Nguyen. And so, Lydia, standing on the NASDAQ floor, being there for a bell ringing, what was that like? Well, tell us about that experience.
It was just a very special experience. Like, I never expected that to happen. And we got to, it made me start thinking bigger about my future. And it made me consider maybe a career in business. I just think it was such a special opportunity, and I'm so glad we got to do it.
Yeah, gosh, I mean, not very few students, especially at your age, get to do that. Now, BlackRock, and I had to ask a few questions about this because I wasn't too familiar with it, but your mom explained a global investment management firm. This is big-time business, and you got to visit BlackRock. How was that?
It was also really amazing. We got to sit in a room with a lot of the employees there, and they told us about their careers to working at BlackRock. And they just all seem to really enjoy their jobs. And I think that's what really inspired me and made me consider possibly a career in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me go over to Long. The young ladies are sharing a microphone, so I'll let y'all transition the mic over to Avery. But Long, it wasn't just a trip for business. It was sightseeing and St. Patrick's Cathedral, which we'll talk to Lydia about in a moment, going to Mass. But you guys actually got to take a basketball game in. You got to see an NBA basketball game. How was that?
It was like a first-timer for me. It was like a really, really fun experience for me because like we got on the Jumbotron and we saw like competitive people playing and we had like snacks and stuff and we had like a very fun experience.
So during the game, they put you on the Jumbotron?
Yeah, me and my friends, like, we stood up. We started, like, like hitting the boomsticks together, and we managed to get on the Jumbotron. It was, like, a core memory for me.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool that the plan was to go to the Statue of Liberty, but obviously other people were planning on going to the Statue of Liberty as well. It's one of the great sightseeing, you know, visits for everybody across the world. You weren't able to do that, but you got to go to the 9/11 Memorial. How was that for you to go to 9/11 Memorial?
Yeah, it gave me an entire different point of view on the 9/11 memorial. So when people think of the 9/11 incident, they think of all the incident, like they think of all the victims and deaths that happened, but they never really focus on the heroes that were participating in the saving of the victims. It gave me an entire like different point of view on the 9/11 memorial, and it like really hit me on how like big of an incident it happened on the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, those of us who are old enough remember that day, you know, and exactly what we were doing, and it was just a horrific day for sure. Well, thank you, Long. I'll come back to you in just a moment. Avery Wright is our third of the eighth graders to speak to, and we talk about these just very, you know, diverse and eclectic experiences that y'all had on this business trip. And one of the things you got to do, Avery, was go to the Broadway play Hamilton. How was that to go to a big-time Broadway play in New York City?
Broadway is one of those most inspiring pieces of theater you can ever experience, ever. And just seeing that with my friends, I had been studying history with them for 5-10 years already. And just like seeing all we've seen in our textbooks come to life in a musical form through people that love their jobs and have such a good passion through it was truly amazing. All the songs, they made so much sense with like what we had already learned. I have amazing history teachers that I knew enough background information that I could just enjoy like the art of it. And it was such an amazing Broadway show. And I love that experience. And I would give anyone that experience if they wanted to go see a Broadway show. I would do anything in my power to help them.
And I'm sure you'll be back.
Yeah, do that. Amazing.
Hudson Yards. What is that? And what was that attraction?
Hudson Yards is kind of, it's like a shopping center. It also, I think it has some offices in it. But at the top of the Hudson Yards, they have something called the Edge. The Edge is the highest observatory center in North America. And a portion of it is glass. You can look down onto the street and just see right through and just like see the cars going by and driving in New York City. It's really cool. And there's amazing sightseeing and just how the sun lines up. It like shows you how like God literally did everything perfectly so we could have like these amazing sights. And there were so many people taking pictures and it was just so fun.
Yeah, amazing. If you're just tuning in, this is the interview of the week, and we're talking to three wonderful eighth graders who are about to graduate from Mary Mac Catholic School in Farmers Branch, mischool.org. And, you know, we feature them a lot, and because they're doing a lot of things, and also they're very proactive in saying, hey, we're doing amazing things. We want to get the word out. And it also just highlights all the beauty of Catholic school education in general. And let me do another round with these. And Lydia, going to St. Patrick's Cathedral, this is clearly one of the most beautiful churches in the world, if certainly in America. And did y'all get to go to Mass there at St. Patrick's?
Yes, we did. We got to attend Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and it was right before St. Patrick's Day, too. And being there, New York is busy and exciting, but being there reminding me to slow down and be grateful for my surroundings. And it also helped me to realize that no matter where we go, our faith is always with us.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to Avery and also Long, because you guys got to go to Times Square. And of course, I always see Times Square like on New Year's Eve and dropping the ball and all that kind of stuff. And it's always like crazy busy and they got the big Jumbotron and everything. What was Times Square like, Avery?
It was really cool. There were so many billboards and lights and people trying to advertise or get their product out to you. And even we were looking at some of the billboards, and one of them was a billboard of Jesus. And there was can't remember what the painting's called, but it said, "Jesus, I trust in you." It was right next to where the ball drops, and we got a picture in front of it, and
really?
It was really cool.
And it wasn't also the Mary Immaculate School logo put up on Times Square? I mean, that on the big Jumbotron, you still talked about the Jumbotron you featured during the basketball game. You got to see your logo in Times Square. How was that?
Yeah, that was, like, really, really cool, because I got chills, because I knew that not many schools get to go to New York, and plus we got our logo on the billboard, and not many companies get, or even schools or major companies get to get their logo or company advertised on a billboard in New York.
Was it something that was like toggling where it came up every few minutes, or was it just like a one-time thing and you had to make sure you're watching it at that time? Or how was that?
It was like a one-time thing. It lasted for around, like, I'd say around 10 minutes. We got to get like a lot of photos with that, individual photos and group photos. And it was like near the NASDAQ building too.
Yeah.
So it could show, yeah.
Amazing. We're talking about a trip that Mary Immaculate Business School through the Modern Business Program went to New York City recently, and talking to three of the students who are currently eighth graders. And then we're also going to come back and talk about the next thing going on. I don't know if the next thing after the next thing has been planned yet, but I'm sure in Father Alphonse's mind that's already starting to percolate. And so let me come back, and I want to ask you each a question generally about these experiences, and then also maybe about your future, because you're in a transition time where you're finishing grade school and going off into high school, and you can tell me about that as well. And so, Lydia, talk about how, you know, leadership, business, and faith can all connect, and how that kind of was highlighted on this trip to New York City.
I think this was highlighted on the trip because we got to do so many things. Well, it connected with business because we went to the NASDAQ in BlackRock, and it also connected with faith when going to St. Patrick's Cathedral, in leadership when we were all together as a group at the NASDAQ in BlackRock too, and all of the sightseeing in New York. And I just think it was really amazing.
Yeah, it certainly was. And anything you want to tell us about your future? What is next year going to look like, or maybe applications, or tell us about that?
For high school, I applied to three high schools. I applied to Ursuline, Bishop Lynch, and John Paul II. I got accepted into all of them, and I'm still deciding my decision.
Nice to have options, isn't it?
Yet.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Regardless of what you choose, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. So thank you so much, Lydia. And Long, let me ask you a question about having all these experiences. You seem like a very confident young man as it is, but having these experiences, does that help you grow in your confidence?
Yes, because it showed that, like, everybody was, like, already prepared for these experiences. And that gave me new confidence to ask for help, because there's always people willing to give you help out there in the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does next year look like for you? Anything you want to tell us about your future after Mary Immaculate?
Yeah. So when we went on the high school visits, JP2 really struck out to me. So that's, like, the only school I applied to. And I also got accepted to that school, so I am going there next year.
All right. Well, you got 100% acceptance so far among these students. And Avery, let me ask you about, New York City, so much creativity, you know, bright lights, a lot of action, a lot of people. Tell them about the creative aspect and what impact that had on you.
New York is a very, if you want to do it, you can probably do it, place. marketing is a huge thing there. And when I get older, I do want to go into marketing. So just seeing like the billboards and the different ways people got their product and like telling you about stuff. Like there were people word on the street and there was like murals to advertise products. And just all the art and all the architecture was amazing to see. Like it was like, it's one of the prettiest places ever. If you look in the small good places, you can find so much creativity. And everyone there is very creative in how they live their lives. And it, just talking to anyone in New York is an amazing experience. Yeah. And it's a really good aspect to have.
Yeah, there is a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot going on. It's always busy, hustle and bustle. How about your future? What do you want to tell us about next year for you?
I applied to three high schools, John Paul II, Bishop Lynch, and Ursuline Academy, and I will be going to Ursuline Academy in the fall.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much again, Lydia Dar, Avery Wright, Long Win. Pray for them as they finish out one part of their career and move on to the next. And you know, you're always going to have this experience in your memory, and I can just tell it was a life changing experience, and it all came about because you were Mary Immaculate students. And so let me bring Claire Dar into. I got the title right, Director of Wonder and Excitement. Is that right?
Director of Wonder and Excitement. Yes, I love it, and I'm very proud of that title.
So from Rome to New York to London, of course, these are the two in the past and one in the future. Mary Immaculate is expanding what students believe is possible, and there's going to be an exchange program or something. Explain what this is with a school in London. How did this come about, and what tell us about these plans?
Absolutely. You know, Father asks, what's next? So about 5 minutes after we got the confirmation of NASDAQ, we moved on to what's next. And there are so many schools at the high school and college level that do sister school programs. They do exchange programs. And it's very rare, if you ever see it, to see it at the grade school level, yeah, at the level that we're at. And so we asked, what if? How could we make this happen? And we were very particular in researching schools. London is a beautiful, beautiful location for many reasons. The history we have with the faith, I think, is, you know, second to none. So it made it an easy choice as where to go. And so we reached out to schools. We found one that has a mission that really beautifully matches ours in so many ways, a Christ-centered environment. They value academics, experiences, innovation, putting their students first. And we reached out to them, and they were like-minded with us. They thought it was an amazing opportunity, visiting Dallas, Texas, maybe one day. Mm. You know, we're as glamorous to them as
they are to us.
You got
to bring them into the studio when they come.
Oh,
okay?
My goodness, yes. And so it started with the ask. And that's something that I hope all of the students learn from their experiences, from Father's leadership, from being at Mary Immaculate. Just ask. You never know what can happen. So we will be there in June. The schools over there are still in session, which is wonderful. Our kids are out of school, but they will be in session. And what was important to us was that they spent time in the school, seeing how it is to live and breathe and learn as a British Catholic student.
Yeah.
And to see the similarities, to see the differences. Maybe they'll appreciate how school is for them back home in Farmers Branch, or they'll be inspired by something. They'll make friends, they'll make connections. Again, to embrace the universality of our faith and to open their minds to what is possible. Mm. You know, any of these students could end up studying in Europe, in London, one day. And so we'll be there in school, but we're also adding in the cultural and the spiritual. So we will be doing tours of London, the Tower of London. We're there during the Feast of Thomas More, which is an incredible opportunity. Westminster Abbey, the Houses of Parliament, the London Eye, Buckingham Palace. We don't know if King Charles is there during that time, but we'll ask.
Yeah, you got to swing the bat.
And so this year is the first delegation to go, and we hope the first of many. New York was the first delegation to go, and those students really took that responsibility seriously. They knew if they had a great experience and did a good job that they were setting up success for the future grades to come. And so they delivered for their future, for the future students.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do in London.
Well, that's very exciting. Thank you very much, Claire, the director of Wonder and Excitement. You can see where she gets that title. And there is a lot of wonder and excitement going on at Mary Immaculate. Let me close as I began with Father Alphonse Nazzaro. He is the pastoral administrator of Mary Immaculate Catholic Church and also the school as well. Father, just have about a minute and a half or so. But now that you've heard the students, you've heard Claire, I guess you can talk about any reflections you had on what they said and also what's next. Is the next thing planned as well, or is that still being considered?
Well, we won't talk about the next things because they're all top secret. But I just want to, you know, one of the most difficult things for any leader in anything is to find passionate people that truly love what they're doing. And Claire Darr is just one of those people that is exceptional because she's passionate. She loves the school. She entrusted Mary Immaculate to her two children, and she's had a wonderful experience. And, you know, finding great people is very hard. And so I feel very fortunate when I find these people and they're willing to, Claire could do anything. She could be working anywhere, and she has chosen to help Mary Immaculate. And with the three kids, you can see that they're dreaming big. They're not afraid to apply to anywhere they feel called to, and they're getting accepted to the schools of their choice. And that makes me very proud that other schools are recognizing the talent and the gifts that they have, the blessing, really, of having our students at their school. I would also say that, you know, Mary Immaculate we don't need people that have millions of dollars. You know, these trips were also partly funded through the generosity of benefactors and parishioners. And so for Rome, the children didn't have to pay a dime. For New York, the children didn't have to pay for their flight. And so, you know, we're always encouraging parishioners and members to help us.
Thank you so much, Father, Claire, wonderful students as well. We're going to have to wrap this up. Thanks also to Sebastian. And again, if you want to learn more about this incredible school doing such incredible things, you can always visit their website, mischool.org, mischool.org, and maybe it'll be a good fit for your child to go there as well. Thanks again to you
Thank
all.
Thank you.
This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you and have a great rest of your weekend.
St. Patrick Cathedral in Fort Worth will host a patriotic rosary on Monday, April 27th from 7 to 8 p.m., celebrating 250 years of freedom. This prayer gathering offers an opportunity to reflect on our nation and seek the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary for peace, unity, and guidance for our leaders. The event will take place at St. Patrick Cathedral in Fort Worth. All are welcome to attend.
Hello and welcome to the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hope you are doing well. Thanks for joining us. And my name is Dave Palmer. Cecil Anderson is back in the helm producing the program. We have a number of people that produce this and always very grateful, including some volunteers like Sebastian and Teresita. But Cecil is here today. And this is a program where we talk about local Catholic things. And I always appreciate when people email me and have suggestions for interviews. And I was at the men's conference back in February 28th. I've been blessed to MC most of these, and they always have vendors there. And there was one vendor there named Carrie Sanchez, and she was promoting a book that she had just been published just about that same time called Gateway to Grace, Connecting the Ten Commandments to Everyday Life. And she is here in studio, and so we're going to talk about her book. I'm a published author myself, so I know what goes into writing a book and how difficult it is. This is her first effort, and I have it here in front of me. It's a beautiful-looking book. and has a foreword by Father Zach Burns, who is a priest over at Good Shepherd Catholic Parish in Colleyville, where Carrie is as well. So good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And one thing, this isn't airing on Holy Thursday, but we're recording it on Holy Thursday, so happy almost Triduum to you.
Yes, thank you.
So Gateway to Grace, connecting the Ten Commandments to everyday life. Before we get into the book itself and how people can get it, and also a really cool journal supplement that people can purchase as well, tell me about yourself. Where did you grow up? Cradle Catholic, family life? Has faith always been a part of your life? Now, give us a little biographical information, if you will.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, Cradle Catholic. I'm married. I have four children. Last year, it was more fun to say because I could say I had college, high school, middle school, and elementary all at once.
So. Everything covered, right?
Yeah, so now I have three teenagers and a preteen, so everybody can pray for me. Yes, I was raised Catholic, but I think similar to a lot of people my generation experienced, you know, went to CCD, but it was very compartmentalized. So you went to Mass on Sunday, you went to Sunday school, but it really didn't connect with your everyday life. And so it was very compartmentalized. We did this on Sunday and Wednesdays, and then life was everything else. And so, you know, kind of grew up in that environment, but always sensed the importance of the Catholic faith, and also experienced moments of the Holy Spirit that I didn't necessarily have language for at the time, but can definitely go back and see how the Holy Spirit was very present and kind of leading and guiding me. My husband, also Cradle Catholic, and we've been married about 23 years. We've been parishioners at Good Shepherd for about that same time.
Did you get married there?
We did. We were actually the second wedding in the sanctuary when it was built.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, super fun.
Wow.
And I remember telling my husband at the time, well, if we want to have singers at our wedding, we better get involved in the choir. So we started in the choir, and we've been very active with ministries, everything from Marriage on Tap to the marriage sponsor couples to from high school, middle school, and the young kids as small group leaders. Did a lot of VBS leading and helping kind of facilitate that. Was on different parish councils and just love. I just love the Lord. He's my favorite person to talk about. He's so good. And, you know,
it's the only man that a husband won't be jealous about.
That's right.
If his wife's talking about him that glowingly. So that's good. You got a good order in your loves. And
yes.
So what inspired you to, obviously you're very busy. You've got all these teenagers you're raising and like you said, four kids and busy life. And then in the midst of that, you said, I think I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that decision making come about?
Well, prayer. It was, you know, when I first was exposed to Jeff Cavin's Great Adventure Bible, that was fantastic. It was the first time that it kind of felt like a border to the puzzle was put around salvation history. Because before, when I would read the Bible, you would have all these stories and I just didn't see how it all fit together. Mm. And so I really loved it. So when Ascension Press came out with Bible in a Year, I was jazzed. I was like, this is fantastic, and enjoyed that process. And then when I got wind that they were going to do Catechism a Year, oh, the Lord just set my heart on fire. And I really just sensed him inviting me to bring that to our parish. And so, you know, it's never a straight line. There were lots of twists and turns to be able to kind of make that be. But anyway, our pastor was on board and he kind of took the helm. And, you know, we ran with Catechism Year. We probably had over 120 parishioners come every week to talk about the Catechism. Which,
so you would listen to it independently on your own, and then you come and talk about those seven lessons that you, with Father Mike Schmitz, right?
Yes, exactly. So, and our pastor, Father Mike Higgins, I mean, he's so intelligent. He's an academic, he's a theologian, and he did a great job of just kind of expounding upon what Father Mike Schmitz would do and then answer questions, you know, from parishioners and that type of thing. And then, you know, in God's...
And you spearheaded this whole thing.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that's quite an effort. Yeah.
Well, it was lovely. I mean, it was, you know, everything from just kind of setting up the hospitality to kind of doing a survey parish-wide to see what the interest was, where we'd host it. And yeah, it was, you know, it's like when the Lord invites you to do things, you just have a joy and there, it's just, you just have to say yes.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
very fulfilling. And so about halfway through the year, he was reassigned. And so then it was, because I had kind of taken the initiative of getting this program going, I had, you know, it kind of fell to me to, okay, how is this going to continue? So I went to all the priests and all the deacons, because for me it was very important, because we were talking about catechism, to have the authority in place to speak on these, because it's church teaching and that's important. And there was nothing, you know. And in fact, it's quite interesting. Father Zach writes in his preface that when he prayed, and because he was kind of slated to take over, he just felt, no, this is for you, Carrie. And I was also sensing that in prayer. And so it was very daunting because I'm not a theologian. I'm a mom of four kids. I love my faith and I've had a lot of prayerful experiences, but it's a lot more akin to like St. Therese of Lisieux,
mm-hmm.
you know, not from an academic perspective, yeah. but yeah. from a faith lived perspective. And I loved it. Oh, facilitating catechism year, it was awesome because we had our parishioners. It was like, okay, we know what our faith teaches, but then we see our lives and our lives are messy.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are messy. Our lives don't look like the ideal. And so how do we bridge that gap? How do we understand the theology? How do we understand the church teaching? And then how do we actually integrate it into our lives? And so it was just, you had Catholics that, you know so much and have been so involved that all of a sudden, all of us just experience this tenderizing of our hearts and just this, I don't know, kind of like the wind of the Holy Spirit at our back of really taking church teaching and saying, okay, I know this in my head, but really, how does this play out in my everyday life?
Yeah.
And so that was really beautiful. At the time, I was working for the church. And at the end of catechism year in December, I felt the Lord call me out of working at the church, which I was kind of like, why, Lord, I love it. You know, it's fun to work in the church. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know,
that December 24, 25,
which... that was actually in 23.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. That was when
I'm a timeline guy. So I like trying yes. to figure this out, this timeline. Okay.
Yes. I love that. Yes. Catechism year was first launched in 2023, I believe. And so at the end of, that year, I stopped working at the church and immediately the Lord was like, now you're going to write. That's exactly my response yeah. because I was like, I am not a writer. You know, in high school and college, I would write my papers and my mom would just come into the room and she'd say, do you have to be somewhere for a few minutes? And she would take my papers and she would fix them. And so it was kind of a shock. But as I, you know, prayed more about it, I just said, okay, Lord, you know, I believe strongly in obedience and just listen, and actually wrote the whole manuscript in about 3 months. And it was beautiful. You know, also with that, like we can't just totally rely on the Holy Spirit. Like we have to actively participate. And so I took a writing class through Praise Writers, Claire Dwyer. And that was beautiful. It was not what I expected. I was kind of, you know, thinking, hey, I would submit a paper. They'd tell me what I was good at and bad at and, you know, kind of learn from there. But that was my first introduction to really a group of writers. And I stayed on with their group, even though I would go to prayer and be like, Lord, I feel like such an imposter. Like mm-hmm. these are beautiful writers. These are authors. This is their love. I'm just here because the Lord's asking me to write and I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and
you're
trying
in perfect
to get some
place. Yeah, that's where you should be. Right. How, there's a certain humility and docility about that.
Yes.
That you're just like, God, you put me here. So
yes. And just yeah. kind of listening to how he was guiding. And it was beautiful because they, as a writing group, she really, Claire, it was placed on her heart to really help authors get published. And so they had an offer for the group to participate in a book called Cloud of Witnesses, where each person would have a chapter. And initially I was like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, you had to, mm-hmm. you had to pay for it. And I was like, I'm not interested in being a published author. You know, this isn't for me. And I took it into prayer. And I was like, oh, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And it was really a beautiful experience because what the foundation of that book, we had to submit kind of our top three saints and say how the saints have kind of interceded in our lives. And so I went out to my prayer space outside. I love being outside and that's where I kind of pray. And it was, we have a thing we call Sanchez Summer Nights, where every Friday night in summer, we just invite community members over, clergy comes, neighbors, people from church, and we just celebrate that we've made it through another week of life, you know, no agenda.
Still alive.
Yes. And it's just, it's a really wonderful yeah. gathering, you know, and so we've done that now for, this will be our 6th year. And when I brought my books out to kind of say, pray through, you know, who the Lord was inviting me to write about, it was like a Sanchez Summer Nights. And, you know, like St. Therese of Lisieux, as much as you are sitting right in front of me, all of these saints were crowded around just like a Sanchez Summer Nights. And St. Therese of Lisieux was like, Carrie, remember in The Story of a Soul when I was so devastated when my dad came down from the stairs and I overheard him. I remember in your life when you had that very similar experience and I was there ministering to you. And I was like, yes. Mm. And then Padre Pio, you know, in his just in his big vibrato, but humble way, you know, was kind of standing over here to my right. And he's like, Carrie, remember those difficult times in your marriage? And when my relics were coming through, I invited you to bring your wedding ring and Ricky's wedding ring and touch it to my first class relic so that your wedding rings are now third class relics. And I am interceding for your marriage, especially in the difficult times. And I was like, oh gosh, yes. And St. Catherine of Siena and St. Teresa, just they were just flooding me with all the ways that they've intersected in my life and interceded for me and helped me. And then as kind of prayer time was coming to a close, I just sensed a gentle presence behind me. And I just heard, do whatever he tells you.
I wonder who that was.
And so my chapter...
Yeah, the Blessed Mother. Yeah.
My chapter in that book is Our Lady of Good Counsel. Wrote about my family's experience at the Eucharistic Congress. And what was beautiful is that was my first, you know, introduction into writing and what that goes into publishing a book. And so the Lord, you know, just kind of showed the way. And so that was helpful to kind of understand, as you mentioned earlier, you know, all the pieces and parts that go into writing a book, because I just had that was not my background at all.
That's great. Great foundational information. And obviously a lot of prayer, mm-hmm. a lot of discernment and communication with the saints, and also preparation and going not only through the Bible of the year, but also facilitating at least half of it, mm-hmm. the Catechism of the year. So now you are pretty well, for somebody who said, you know, you're not like an academic or anything like that, but that's a lot of training. That's a lot of information, especially when you're facilitating it. And so you decided to zero in on the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot, the Catechism, obviously that's only a small portion of the Catechism, small portion of our faith, an important part, but why did you focus in on that?
I think really, you know, that really covers the third pillar of the Catechism. And for me, this is where it's lived out. Initially, the book title was something a little bit different. But as I kind of continue to go through discernment, just recognizing in my own family, you know, the Lord gives us the gifts of the commandments as a gift. They are his loving instruction to us. And what I found is that, you know, there's always a consequence to sin. The ultimate, you know, consequence of sin, of course, is death. But even in our families, if you look at, you know, we all kind of are, when we're born and, you know, kind of in our childhood, I think most of us imagine, you know, oh, we're going to find the love of our life. We're going to have children. It's going to be happily ever after. And then we wake up one day and we're like, wait, this is not what this looks like.
That didn't work out so well, did it?
Yeah,
it's different.
It is different. Yeah. And a lot of that comes out of sin. And what I've recognized is that most of us, while we might be able to name the Ten Commandments, we don't really know them. And the devil uses that to his advantage. Because if we can say, this is sin, this water bottle here is sin, what the devil likes to do is say, I'm making that part of your identity. Mm. So not only is your sin, that's you. You are unworthy. You are unlovable. Look at what you've done. And he intertwines our sin with our identity so much so that we despair. And then we say, well, what's even the use? I can't get out of this. So it's super important for us to make an intellectual assent and say, no, sin is this water bottle sitting in front of me. It is separate and distinct from my identity. And yes, I made that choice. But it's that gateway to grace. When we sin, that is the Lord. I mean, he doesn't come. He comes to save, right? Not to condemn. We read that in scripture. Jesus comes to save us from our sins. So when we sin, it is a gateway to his grace to say, Carrie, let's talk about that. Let's talk about why you chose that sin. Because there were, you know, and I will give him all these reasons, you know, because I was raised this way and meant to think this thought, or this was done to hurt me. And so now, you know, I react in this certain way. And he's like, exactly. And I am coming into your heart to heal those aspects, those parts of your heart that have been wounded and broken. And so sin, all of a sudden, when we take accountability for our sin, when we know what our sin is, number one, that knowing is important. That intellectual assent is important, because then the devil can't play his games with us. It's like, no, I know that's not my identity. Now I chose it, but I'm going to my Father and we're going to talk about why I did this, right? And he's going to come into my heart and say, yes, I know you and I love you and I have something even better for you. Mm. You chose this lesser thing because of these things. Let me in and let me heal that.
You know, as in preparation for this, mm-hmm. I got the Catholic Ten Commandments and mm-hmm. I pasted them on the paper here. And as you're talking, I noticed that they're almost all negative, like, don't do this, you shall not do this, you shall not do this, you shall not do this. And I sometimes think if, like, you go to the pool or something, and you just want to have a good time, and it's all like, don't run, don't do this, don't do that. And it's like, oh, come on, you know. And whereas it sounds to me like the commandments are not just these a whole bunch of things you shouldn't do.
Right.
They are a gateway to grace.
Yes.
And really, is that kind of how you're doing this, is saying, let's rethink about how we see the commandments as more of an avenue of grace rather than just a bunch of rules?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And also identity of, like, okay, oh, I stole, or I, you know, whatever, I did this, that, and that is not part of my identity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, I think Catholicism has gotten a bad rap, right? You guys just have a bunch of rules, tell us everything that we can't do, take the fun out of life, you know, and all those things. But in reality, when we think about our family life, and I'll give you an example, and I'm so thankful. My kids give me lots of content for the book, all with their permission. And especially my boys, they're now 10 and 14. And so the recent ice storm that we had, an example of this is, you know, we're kind of confined into the room, and they just know, like, they know every hole to punch, right? And just kind of twist it. You know, we know each other's woundedness, especially siblings, and they kind of play into that. And that's what was going on. And, you know, for a time, we kind of let it go and kind of let them feel this out, you know, and let them experience it. But then we stopped and I said, okay, guys, you know, based on our faith, what do you know that you're supposed to do right now? And they said, well, we know that we're supposed to forgive one another and ask for mercy and be happy and go back to playing. I said, well, can you do it? Well, no, because he did this and he did this and blah, 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 right? And I said, you know what? That's actually, you're right about that. The reason, the whole purpose that we go to church and receive Jesus in the Eucharist is we can't do this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
It is his grace that compels us for repentance and forgiveness. It is the grace that allows us, that sanctifying grace that comes into our soul, that is the power of him that allows us to look at our brother and sister and say, and take accountability and say, I can't do this on my own, but if I pray and I ask Jesus to help me, then all of a sudden, yes, he is the risen Lord. Yeah. He is who saves us from our sins. We don't do it on our own. That ungodly self-reliance, you know, our culture pushes that on us, that, you know, you can be a self-made man. You can do all things on your own. You can achieve everything. You can be, you know, you can be completely sinless. And it's like, no, we do everything through Jesus. And so it incorporates also our true dependence and docility and humility to his great work. And, you know, if you think about just in our family lives, those boys were fighting because they had selfishness, or they had saying something against the other person. Every time we sin, there's a negative consequence. So the Lord, when he says, don't do that, it's because he loves us. And he says, I know you boys, when you play together and you enjoy each other's company and you are being loving and giving and generous to one another, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun for you. That is when you live most fully alive. So these commandments, when I tell you not to do something, it's not because I'm trying to stamp out your fun. It's because I'm trying to give you more fun. I came so that in John 10:10, I came to give you life more abundantly. And so his commandments, rather than, you know, kind of the bad rap that they've gotten about the don't do this and don't do that, it's like, I'm giving you these commandments as a gift, because when you follow these, you will live your most fulfilled and happy and joyous life.
We are down to a few minutes left. Yeah. Very interesting information. The author is Kerry Sanchez, with a Z at the end, S-A-N-C-H-E-Z, Kerry, C-A-R-R-I-E, Gateway to Grace, Connecting the Ten Commandments to Everyday Life. And you can get this. It's self-published, right?
It is.
Okay. And Amazon, you have a website?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, you can go to kerrysanchez.net and order directly, which does allow a little more money to stay into the ministry, but you can also get it on Amazon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a chapter at the beginning that says how to use this book.
Yes.
And we just have a couple of minutes. Okay. And also, you have the Transfiguration on the cover. Tell me about that. How do people use it? From a practical standpoint, and why did you choose the Transfiguration?
Yeah, definitely. This is very heavy in catechism references. So I would like for people to not only get a catechism and have access to it. Some of them I quote directly in the book, but others, it's important for you to actually read what church teaches in the catechism. And so I definitely encourage that. And then Transfiguration is from the old law to the new law. You know, Moses gave us, or we were given these Ten Commandments through Moses, and Jesus is a new revelation, right? He is the new law. And so it's kind of, he's the fulfillment of the old law. And so the Transfiguration is beautiful because he's sitting there connecting the old law and the new law, and
yeah,
where
Moses,
we are today.
Elijah, the prophets,
yes.
the law and the prophets, and of course he has three of his apostles with him as well. So it kind of connects everything.
Yes.
Yeah, this is so interesting because I always think if I'm going to associate grace with something, I'll associate it with the sacraments because mm-hmm. the sacraments are the primary way we receive grace. Mm-hmm. Never thought of the Ten Commandments associated with grace. It's just like a bunch of rules and don't do this. And so that seems to be the gap that you're kind of closing here is how the connection between God's grace and the sacrament and the Ten Commandments, which is really interesting. We didn't get into any specific ones. I will say, and again, I'll keep saying, we're running out of time, and then I ask you another question. But there's a real like specific order of the commandments, where
yes.
the first ones are about God, and then you got the fourth one about more about our parents, and then really or the order of justice and how we relate to other people. How does that play into it? Of the kind of this ordering of who we have responsibility to as indicated in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's perfectly ordered. You know, the first one is you shall love the God, you know, our God before everything and have no other false gods. And when we, you know, my favorite scripture is Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of righteousness and everything else will be given to you. When we love the Lord first and foremost out of everything, when we surrender everything to the Lord, everything else falls into place.
Yeah, and everything they all else. Follow after that.
Yes,
yeah.
And those commandments, when you group the first one, two, and three, those are how we love God, right? When they ask, what are the two commandments? It's love God and love neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 3 is love God. 4 through 7 is love neighbor. So we encapsulate all of that of his commandment of how to love first God and then love each other through the Ten Commandments and through his order.
Very good. Well, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
And I hope it's doing well. I invite everybody to go to Carrie's website, carriesanchez.net, CarrieSanchez.net, carriesanchez.net. The book is called Gateway to Grace, Connecting the Ten Commandments to Everyday Life. There's also a reconciliation journal that you can buy as well, where you can take some notes and journal as you go through the book. And I do appreciate you coming in. Very nice to see you again. And thanks for doing the interview of the week. If you out there listening have any suggestions for future interviews of the week, you can always email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. This has been the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM Interview of the Week.
Do you wonder who decides if your flight is on time, delayed, or canceled, calculates weight and balance, or plans your route of flight? Aircraft dispatchers are responsible for these decisions and more. My wife and I operate Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center in Farmers Branch, where you can earn your FAA Aircraft Dispatcher Certificate. We attend Mass at St. Anne's Church in Coppell and are blessed to be sponsors of the GRN. For more, you can find us at ADTCDallas.com.
Is your child a chess player? The 4th Annual Chess Tournament is open to all Dallas Catholic School students in the 3rd through 12th grade. The Scholastic Chess Tournament is an annual fundraising event organized by the...
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, and North Texas. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
Opinions as having equal value. What can we say in response?